This program was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
Excuse me, my lord. John Collins to see you, sir. Ah, yes. Send him in. Mr. Collins, take a seat.
Thank you.
Now, how are things in your...
Hard.
Still one of my favourite spots in the kingdom. When the sun is out, that is. Some wine?
No, thank you.
It's Spanish?
I don't drink.
Oh, a man without vice?
But not without sin.
Indeed. Who amongst us is?
Can we...
Your son, of course.
Dominic. His name is Dominic.
Mr. Collins, your son has some intelligence vital to the crown.
And what do you want from him?
He is withholding information about James Archer, an instigator of rebellion against the crown. We want to know where Archer is and what he plans to do next.
And how do you know he has this information?
Your son?
Dominic.
Oh, your son. He and Archer were close allies in the failed attempt by the Spanish expedition under Don Juan de Aquila to land at Kinsale. And then, of course, to join forces with Hugh O'Neill's rebels and overthrow English forces in this country. Afterwards, they sought refuge at O'Sullivan Bear's castle at Donboy through the winter of 1601. In June, Archer and O'Sullivan left Donboy Castle, leaving your son and some other rebels to fend for themselves. Archer is, one might say, a priest that conjures the foul weather. But I hope to conjure his head in a halter when I catch him. And so, here we are.
I see.
Do you? Your son has shown no penitence for his detestable treasons, nor it seems does he merit his own life. He is refusing to assist us in discovering the rebels' intentions, or by doing some service that might deserve favour.
Some service?
Mr. Collins, I am not in the business of sharing the Crown's methods of protecting itself and its subjects, particularly here in this godforsaken land on the edge of the world with nothing on it but grass, cattle and rain. Suffice it to say that your son has been offered ample opportunity to change his fortune these past 4 months, but he is persistently intransigent. Something in the blood, one might venture, or something determined by the savage nature of the landscape, perhaps.
When Walter Raleigh...
Walter Raleigh.
When Sir Walter Raleigh became the sole owner of lands in Cork and Waterford, we did not resist in any way. We've remained loyal to the crown, though it wants to force a new religion on us. We made room for the English planters and have been working side by side. We have kept our counsel and faith to ourselves and kept our businesses running in the town so that we may all prosper from it.
You think that we should be grateful? There's no thanks forthcoming to you and your kind.
My son is stubborn, but not a rebel. Headstrong, yes, but treasonous?
Oh, it's intriguing, don't you think, that a father would know his own flesh and blood so little?
I haven't spoken to my son for 15 years.
Indeed, but a father remains a father, don't you think?
What do you want from me?
To be a father. To give advice, to impose sense, to influence, to model and counsel on the right thing to do.
The right thing to do?
You will tell him that if England says the grass is red, then the grass is red. That is all. You have nothing to say?
I would like to visit my son now.
The jailer will bring you down.
Thank you.
Just a moment. It might be beneficial to all parties if we could speak again after your visit. Before you leave, that is. It won't take long. Perhaps your son will be more accommodating by the end of your little chat. Jailer?
My lord.
Please take Mr. Collins to his son.
Yes, my lord. This way and all, please.
This is a dreadful place.
There is no one here who doesn't deserve to be here, sir. What's your head now?
Dominic? Is that you?
Father? Yes, it's me.
What have they done to you?
Sit down, Father.
They have you chained like an animal.
Please, if you are going to stay a while, please sit down.
I'll not be staying long.
Why would you?
I'm here...
For Mother, I know.
She's distraught.
We have said our goodbyes. I have a closed in my mind, so if that is all you came for, then you can save your breath and leave.
Your arrogance has always astounded me.
For the short period you had to suffer it?
You were never a child. Too precocious and full of your own wind.
I wonder where I was got then.
Always the smart answer.
If you were just going to stand there and not even look me in the eye, what is the point? Well, is this what you came here for? To tell me that the crown is right to hang me for being a royal pain in the backside?
I don't know where you get your energy for your humour. I can only think that dying is the only honourable thing left for you to do.
Oh, you're not wrong. As usual.
Is this what you want? Look at yourself. Everything you could have had, could have been, and you choose to die like an animal?
I've already been through this with Mother. This is where I am now.
And how did you get here?
That's what you really want, isn't it?
What?
The story. The sordid details of all my mistakes. Evidence of my naivety. Justification for my arrest. And then you can ride home and nod to yourself that you had no part in it. That you need not shed no tears for your son because his arrogance doesn't deserve any tears.
All right then, yes. I want to know the story.
We will not part as friends if I talk of it now.
A father and son should not be friends.
You call me arrogant?
There are things I have wondered on for years. Your mother and brother too.
I will tell you, but you won't feel any better.
You could not possibly know what goes on in my mind.
I left because of you.
Well, there it is. I'm shocked. Can you tell me something I didn't already know? Or perhaps you could just clarify exactly what it was or is about me that has brought you to this place?
In all the wanderings you have done over the years, have you not thought to reflect on yourself?
I have nothing to reproach myself about.
Really?
Anything I have done in my life I have thought carefully on. I am not passionate like you. I don't act on my emotions. I'm a man, not an adolescent.
I'm 36 years old. I've seen more of the world than you have seen in your imagination. I fought wars, led armies. What kind of man do you think I am?
Ah, and you ran away.
Is that really what you think? That I ran away?
Oh, you see it differently, no doubt.
Do you remember the summer of 1586 then?
Yes.
You will remember the English surveys coming to Yall to divide the land, our people's land.
Yes, I do.
You remember who they gave that land to?
Would you get to the point?
Christ, like you don't already know what the point is? After what Raleigh did in Smerwick to those Spanish and Italian soldiers? Stripping them naked, beheading them and dumping their heads in the sea? Our land was his reward, our homes. What was it, Queen Elizabeth said again? The mighty hand of the almightiest power. Condemned across Europe for their barbarity. But silence in you all. Utter, Shameful. Silence.
And you blame me for that?
You and every other person of influence.
Person of influence? You think that I, or any of the merchants, or the council could resist Raleigh and the Crown?
Oh, we will never know because you never tried. And if you failed, we would have carried your name with pride.
So you ran off to France because you were disappointed in your father. It didn't take much.
What does that mean?
An idealist doesn't need the truth. Just a truth. Any kind of truth. To hang his passion on. To fuel the uncontrollable energy that makes him think he has some sort of predestined right to live an extraordinary life. A life not befitting the rest of us. Us ordinary, mundane, functional beasts who live out our lives in boring oblivion. You just needed an excuse. You're hungry to be special. That's the truth.
My God, you're jealous.
No, don't be so vain. Though that surely is the root of it. Vanity.
Everything they have done. Raleigh, Grey, Gilbert and Carew. Murder, famine, death, destruction of our fate. What does it take for any man to say enough? We won't stand for it anymore. If everything I did was an excuse, then it's a bloody good one.
And you think that just because I and others like me didn't pick up weapons and stand at the gates and die on our feet, that we are not good Catholics?
You made your choice.
And you should respect it.
Well, I don't.
Well, let's suppose then for a moment we resisted the English, this new wave of Protestant planter. How do you think it would have turned out?
I'm not interested in the imagination.
But you should be. Let me help you. After certain defeat, I would have been executed. What of your mother then? No income, no home, no food, no warmth? Is that the honourable outcome you wished for her?
Ah, this is not about her.
Oh, but it is. It's about all of us. It's about the reality of war. Here we are. Days from your death. You lost. Now we will lose a son. You talk about the destruction in our faith. How can any man or nation or crown take your faith when you carry it in your heart and mind? It's impossible to destroy something that is invisible. The spirit can never be broken. They can burn down houses, kill the cattle, but never, never destroy what we believe. That is the folly of their arrogance. And you will die trying to show them the errors of their ways.
It's not them I want to prove wrong. It's my people that I want to prove right.
They are not your people. They are God's.
And I'm God's instrument.
God will punish you if you do
this. God will punish me if I don't. You have wasted a journey here today if all you want is to change my mind.
Well, I surely can't be blamed for not trying on this occasion.
No.
Then I'm not a complete failure as a father?
I never said you were.
Nor have you ever said that I was a good one.
Oh, does it matter?
No. No, in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing more than a trivial consolation.
I would have thought you a man unsatisfied by consolations.
In our darkest hours, they might be all we have left.
Father, what's life like in you all these days?
Oh, some people are starving, English and Irish. Some of the planters have even gone back to England. The river is full of discarded timber, and ships have been sitting in the bay for weeks. The word in the council is that Raleigh is broke, and the government is tired of him. We have no idea of what will happen in the future.
And the rebellion, what is the news on the rebellion?
As bankrupt as Raleigh's accounts. Oh, I'm tired of war, Dominic. It has cost us all too much. Everybody is on the losing side now.
You know they will come again.
Who, the rebels?
The English.
And you still believe it was the right thing to do?
I'm here. Is that not evidence enough?
I hear you were well respected in France and Spain.
Oh, too many men in this world are too easily impressed, Father.
Still, you took your Jesuit teaching literally as a soldier of God. I didn't imagine that reading the spiritual exercises would lead you here.
Or not literally enough.
What do you mean?
Do you know the story of Ignatius of Loyola breaking his leg in battle?
Oh, I'm not acquainted with it.
When it healed, it was crooked up. So on his request, his surgeon broke it to straighten it out. And the results were not good. A bone still protruded below the knee. Ignatius demanded that the surgeon saw off the bone and have the leg stretched. Can you imagine enduring such pain for so long?
And you don't believe you've sacrificed enough?
I haven't.
Each man's pain is particular to him. You can only measure it by what it costs you, not by what another man has suffered.
Just think of that conviction.
For all his bravery, Brother Ignatius was an egotist. He could not resist what he could not change.
I shouldn't expect you to understand. You of all people.
Oh, give them what they want, Dominic. You don't owe anybody anything.
I will not. I cannot betray my brothers.
Haven't you done enough?
I've done nothing that has affected any change, and that is the truth of it.
And what about Dunboy Castle during the siege?
What about it?
They say you looked after the sick and the injured and negotiated a surrender with Carew. I hear your efforts saved many lives.
If you mean I took the only option for survival available to me at the time, then yes, it's true. It's true that I did not fight to my dying breath, and that's something I regret now.
You regret not dying?
It would have been better than the undignified begging from my mother and father.
So now you are going to prove to the world that you are a soldier and a martyr, and you will die with honour, with applause ringing in your ears. Is that it?
You make me sound so limited.
You know these people that you are protecting. I'm wondering why they are not here with you now.
That's not fair, Father, and you know that.
What do you think will happen if you give Carew the information he wants?
My conscience will be haunted forever. Every time I wake up in the morning, it will be the very first thought on my mind. Seeing my brothers tortured and killed because I couldn't hold my tongue.
You cannot be certain that the information you give will lead to anything. You could die for nothing.
I don't want to be like you. Do you understand? I don't want to be all-knowing and wise and safe and calculated.
God forbid that you would be blessed with wisdom. But don't tell me that you are not calculated. This suicide mission is the most obstinate and calculated thing you have ever done.
Why don't you just console yourself like most fathers and tell me that I kept the wrong company?
Don't blame the company you keep. Blame yourself for keeping it. These people you protect don't care for your welfare. You're just a casualty of war, a cog in a wheel. I'm surprised you think there is some reward for allowing yourself to die.
This is not a suicide mission.
You have control over this, Dominic. You can change your mind. Nobody needs to know. This is between you and God, and I don't believe God wants you to die. There's not enough good men in this world as it is. You have so much to offer. Don't waste it.
Sometimes I wonder, Father, what did you really want to do?
When?
When Raleigh and Carew came.
Oh, my heart wanted to resist, to take up arms, to confront them. So many nights I lay awake, fantasizing what might have been done. But I stayed on the side of caution to save my family. There's a chasm between the heart and the head, the width of a sea. You stay on one side or the other. If you don't, you will drown trying to swim across. I had to make a decision, to pick a side.
You mean you had too much to lose? Prestige, political power, business interests.
Oh, for God's sake, Dominic. The town was on its knees after the Desmond Rebellion. People care more about food and warmth than they do politics.
That's the bloody point. These things are not mutually exclusive.
People don't want rebellion. They want certainty. They want life to be uneventful, predictable. They complain when the weather changes, even though they already know the weather changes all the time.
They have to be led.
Yes, but only as long as it doesn't cost them anything. And the new order is the same as the last.
You talk like a slave.
Ah, maybe you're right. I'm old, tired. But I know when Moses was on the mountaintop, the people he led to freedom were drunk in the valley, worshipping the golden calf.
Then I would rather be Moses.
But you're not. Someday Raleigh and Carew will be gone. Men like that are always passing through. There is another world somewhere to conquer, new people to subjugate. They will move on to the Americas when they tire of Ireland. The grass is always greener somewhere when greed and fame is your moral compass.
Injustice isn't just the action of the oppressor, it's the inaction of the oppressed.
I wish I believed that. I envy your passion, Dominic.
It's not passion, it's the truth. And truth is, or should be, the only law. Passion by itself is not enough. Carew has passion. Evil has passion.
You have more conviction than I gave you credit for.
And yet, I'm still afraid.
Of what?
Of dying.
Well, that's because it's not your time. You are going against what God wants for you.
Am I not being used to right or wrong? Mother asked me, why did it have to be me? Why am I the one in prison? Why am I the one facing death? Father, I don't know the answer. Yes, I stayed in Dunboy to help my fellow soldiers. I gave them confessions and absolutions. How could I not? Most of them were just boys. They looked up to me, called me their captain. I knew by staying with them I'd seal my fate, but it wasn't out of honour or bravery. I just couldn't leave them behind. I wanted to run. I wanted to get back to Spain. I told myself I had given everything that was possible, that there would be another day to fight, but in that moment, I was lost. I was no longer me, and I hated myself for wanting to leave.
You acted on your instinct.
And what is that? God? You? My conscience?
That's a question for you. Alone.
But that's just it. I can't find the answer. Every thought I have about saving my life feels wrong, like cheating destiny. Isn't there more to a man's life than looking after himself? There has to be a purpose to how I feel, a reason why I can't save myself.
There's no shame in changing your mind, Dominic. These men you are protecting, they are not thinking of you. They might even be dead. Will you at least think on it?
I don't want to ask myself if I should be here. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to understand my place in the world. I spent all my youth thinking about it, and it did nothing for me. When I stopped thinking, I was free to do something, Father.
Time is nearly up.
Father, when I was in Europe, we rode into a village in northern France. There were horses lying dead on the street, their noses hacked off. The air was thick with the smell of burn. We came across a spit on the street. The smoke was still blooming. At first, I thought the enemy might still be there, eating. It looked just like the burnt body of an animal. But it was a small boy. In one of the houses, we found a little girl, prostrate on the bed. Her face was blue. Deep bruises on her tiny neck like ink stains on paper. At the crotch of her dress, a blood stain, still drying, as wide as a fully bloomed rose. I don't know if those men were evil or if they just wanted us to know that there was nothing they wouldn't do. I don't want to understand that. I don't want to weigh that up. I don't want to judge that. Judgment is a paralysis that costs lives. I just want it. I want to put it right. I know that means I will pay with my life, but what else is my life worth if I don't want that?
Dominic?
Time!
What is it?
I made a promise to Matthew White and all the merchants on the council that I would accept the circumstances as they were all those years ago. They begged me to help bring stability after years of turmoil. Now, I have to ask, how does a man shake hands on a promise when his hands are tied?
You have to go now, Father. Will you tell Mother that I...
There is nothing a mother does not know.
True.
We agree on something then?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Well, it's getting dark. I have a long trip ahead.
Father, I need to see a priest to hear my confession.
Oh, I will speak to Carew.
Come on now, come on. I won't ask again.
Goodbye, Dominic.
Goodbye, Father.
Follow me, son. Watch your step.
Dominic, your greatest weakness is that you love yourself more than God loves you. You cannot get to paradise in spite of me.
Well, Mr. Collins, is it good news?
I don't know. He might be willing to change his mind.
Oh, England will be very grateful for your service if he does.
Oh, I didn't do it for England.
Of course you didn't. At least you didn't mean to.
He wants to see a priest. Will you send him one?
What price a priest?
Price?
Oh, nothing is for free. A merchant should know that much.
You might make your meaning clearer.
You and I are older men, Mr. Collins. One might say our understanding of life is more acute in accordance with experience, while your son has yet to see the folly of his radicalism. A priest is all well and good for the preparation of death, but it is your son's life, I'm sure, that occupies your thoughts.
What kind of compromise?
Do you write at all, Mr. Collins?
I find reading is far more beneficial.
Well, I like to keep a record of everything. Events, thoughts, conversations. The world is so complex these days. Collecting and storing information is the key to power. Once something is written, it has a certain resonance, permanency. The written word is a powerful thing. One might say it's a contract with indisputable truth.
There is no such thing as an indisputable truth. Only the suppression of the opposite view.
Ah, that's my point, Mr. Collins. It's not what is written, but who writes it. Ownership of information is where the real power is.
I used to think reality is what you make of it. Now I know it's what other people do to you.
Quite. I will consider a priest, while you will consider what it is that I would find valuable. You know where I am. I believe I've made my meaning clear.
It's late. I have stayed too long. Goodbye, sir.
Godspeed, Mr. Collins, and regards to your good lady wife.
I'm sure she will take it in the spirit it is intended.
The Last Days of Dominic Collins was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Starring Brian Hogan, Anne Brooks, Finbar Hannon, John Curtin, Martin Hennessy, Ronan Rafferty and Holly Toomey. Written, directed and produced by Michael Toomey. Sound engineer Thomas O'Keefe. Edited by Thomas O'Keefe and Michael Toomey. A Community Radio Yall production.